Hey everyone, it's Carl. Before we get started, I want to let you know that I have a new podcast out called Alchemix Bar Diaries, where I tell you my thoughts that go through my brain about bartending techniques, theory, and anything to do related to the bartending world. We just started. I would love to have you come over, take a listen. The link for it is in the description of any podcast player you're listening to this to. And yeah, go check it out. Now let's get the show started. Everyone in the service industry has a story, crazy customers, wild orders, and WTF moments. Do you want to start a tab? The podcast here to bring you those tales from behind the bar. My name's Carl, and I'm like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 drinks in so far.
My name's Riley, and I just got off work, so I'm no drinks in.
Yeah. Slacker.
Bummer.
Bummer. What's funny is I drank all 5 drinks in front of you.
Not all 5. Mm-hmm. No, you ordered all 5.
Okay, ordered whatever. So what we like to do on this lovely little podcast is read stories about the hospitality industry through the eyes of the guests or the employee. Was there an asshole? Was there not? Could the story have been handled better? Then we rate that story 1 through 5, 1 being your mediocre. I hear that shit all the goddamn day.
Yep.
Or 5 being the holy fuckballs, Batman.
Right.
You got a tail up in your mouth. Yeah. So, yeah, that's what we do on this podcast. We talk about bar stuff or hospitality stuff.
Yes.
And since we are adults over the age of 21, we like to drink things. This is the second time we are drinking this beer from Imperial Oak Brewing out of Willow Springs, Illinois, a nice little suburb of Chicago. And this is their Savage Oak series. And this is a passion fruit blanc, a brut Berliner Weiss.
Berliner Weiss.
Berliner Weiss.
That took me a minute because you pronounced it so poorly that my brain couldn't wrap around the way that it's actually supposed to be said.
Is that right? And then you're like, no.
Berliner Weiss. Yeah. Okay. Yes.
Well, again, I'm 7 drinks in.
So cheers.
Cheers.
Oh,
oh yeah.
Why is it that every time I forget that that's actually really sour?
Mm-hmm. But like in the best way possible. Yes,
like it's a true sour beer.
Yeah,
it's just like last time I forgot that.
Right, and it's what we love to drink.
And it smells like the passion fruit has just been wafting the whole time it's been sitting there while we were waiting to start, and it tastes very heavily of passion fruit. It's great.
Right, it's great.
Doesn't taste like artificial fruit at all.
So yes, if anyone can get to Willow Springs, Chicago, or Willow Springs, Illinois, go check out this brewery.
That's the east side of Chicago, right?
Southwest.
Really? Mm-hmm. I just have no idea which way directions go in Chicago.
Well, Chicago is on like Michigan, so everything else suburbs are to the west of Chicago, technically.
Yeah. Sure.
So, anyways, we're going to have a geography lesson later. But definitely check out this place. They have a really nice pizza place next door that we really enjoyed. That was really good.
Yes.
So, anywho's, we're going to read some stories now. We have no guests. Guests don't like us anymore. I'm just kidding.
We need more friends.
We need more friends. Will you be our friend?
That was creepy.
I'm desperate. All right. Do you have a story you want to share first?
I do. I will start today.
Okay.
It is called Petty Bartender Revenge from the Petty Revenge subreddit. The OP is Getting Crunk on Tea. Ooh. And it was posted 5 years ago.
So that's like back when tea meant tea, not like tea as in today, as in spill your guts kind of thing, right?
Yeah.
Is that what tea means today?
Tea is tea. Gossip.
Yeah, gossip.
Yeah. All right. So here we go. It's been a long time since I've read something like this. I've bartended for a long time and have certainly developed my list of pet peeves behind the bar. Looking at you girls who order drinks and then are too busy taking selfies to hand me your credit card when I drop them off. By far, my biggest pet peeve is when people try and negotiate the amount of alcohol they get without wanting to pay more. Last night, my usual Thursday group of bikers was in and a new guy joined them I have never seen before. This biker group is more of a hobby group, not a hardcore gang type of thing, and quite a few of them drink red wine.
Love
just,
it.
It just makes me think of the movie Wild Hogs.
That's what I was thinking this first time.
My bar has been short of wine glasses, but we managed to find some stemless wine glasses in the back we've put into rotation. New guy orders a glass of red wine and I bring it to him in a stemless glass, as that is all I had available. He asked me why he couldn't get a glass with a stem, and I made some corny statement about stemless glasses being all the rage and chuckled and tried to walk away. New guy then decides to complain about his pour. Ah, hell no. He wants more. Everyone else has more than him, yada, yada, yada. I see that there is a stemmed glass in the dishwasher dirty, so I pick up his glass and inform him that I will be right back. He looks proud at this point, and I set his glass down and start the dishwasher and wait. Annoying old man is staring at me, staring at the dishwasher, as he slowly starts looking confused, wondering what is taking so long. Once the dishwasher finishes, I pour out the wine into the nicely polished stemmed glass exactly to the fill line we have marked on the glass. Oops, looks like there's still a little extra in the original glass I poured, so I take both over to him and explain the fill line and that this was extra whilst holding the original glass. Then I walk away and pour the extra in the trash right in front of him. I didn't hear a word out of annoying old guy the rest of the night, but when I told one of the other bikers what I'd done, he giggled hysterically and then tipped me well. Is that one of your biggest pet peeves?
When people argue or complain about the shit not being filled all the way?
Yes.
I personally have had the luxury of most places where I work, people don't bitch about wash lines, spills, and being hot, and you know, like,
to be fair, we're in Iowa, most people don't know what a wash line is, but right,
but like, even with wine, like, we've had some people, no matter where I worked, even at Winifred's, where High End Steakhouse place, and people are like, there's so much extra room, like, okay, I understand, but still, a 5 ounce pour of wine is the normal amount of wine you get. Right. I even like was on somewhere, and they were saying we do a 6 ounce pour, and it was a dive bar.
If you want more, pay the bottle price,
right. You know, like, you're going to save money if you buy the bottle. I tell people, like, look, if you're having more than two glasses, buy the fucking bottle. You're right. Because if I do 5 ounces times four, that's 20 ounces.
Right.
You're going to pay that price. Then if you buy the bottle, you're going to get an extra 5 ounces because bottles are 750 milliliters, which is 25 ounces.
Right.
Math. And I tell people that, and they're like, really? I didn't know that. I'm like, well, now you fucking do. So personally, I don't deal with that a lot. But I have, wine is definitely more like, oh, they feel it's so cheap, but the whole stemless thing, who gives a flying fuck?
People complaining about glassware, I think, is another one of your pet peeves.
Oh, it is so, it is so one of my pet peeves. It's like, it's a glass. Who gives a shit, man?
It says the guy who refused to serve in plastic for an event.
What event?
At the Julian, there was an event that they wanted to serve cocktails in plastic.
Look, I wanted to pick a fight that week.
Obviously.
But also, I don't want to serve a $13 cocktail in a plastic glass. Like, look.
You literally just said it's just a glass. Get over it.
And plastic is not a glass. Is it?
It's just a vessel that you get your drink in.
I understand that. But you're paying $13. So, yes, I wanted to pick a fight that week, and I really wanted to go at him because I had already knew that that crowd, we were not going to make as much money.
You were pissed about the event in general.
Because we weren't going to make as much money as everyone guaranteed we were.
Right.
So, anyways, back to the store because this is what's more important.
Right.
Bartender, amazing.
Yes.
Like, he handled it perfectly.
That's a perfect response.
Yeah. Like, look, I poured you extra. You bitched about it. Now, here's your standard pour.
Fuck off.
Fuck off. Just pours it
right.
Staring at him, staring at him, you know.
Oops. Looks like you actually had extra, but now you don't get it because you were a dick.
Mm-hmm. And like people, look, I get it. If you're a big wine connoisseur kind of person, I understand. Glassware matters to you. But when you go to a fucking bar, that's obviously like a biker bar, a wine bar or a dive bar or whatever.
Yeah, if it's not a wine bar or a high-end restaurant. Mm-hmm.
Stemless is usually what they have because guess what? You fuckers break stemware all the time.
Stemware is so fragile.
Yeah. And it's like, who gives a shit? And like, if you're so concerned about your wine, then why are you ordering wine there?
Right.
But let's go back to the idea.
It's the Wild Hogs.
It's the Wild Hogs, yeah. Like biker gang. What
is who is the, it's Robin Williams, John Travolta,
Tim Allen, and the guy that plays in Shameless, the dad.
Yeah. What's his name?
Fuck. I don't know. Yeah, he's great.
But
William H. Macy.
Yes. That is who I see complaining. It's that character.
Yeah, because he kind of does it, right? Yeah. He kind of does it in like that bar.
He's kind of like uptight and like.
His expectations are just everyone makes expectations.
Right.
But it's like, you know, obviously all the other bikers don't give a shit, right? And they probably already know, like, we're a bunch of bitches for drinking. But and again,
drinking red wine. If you're drinking red wine and you're not like, that's great.
Right. We're not saying if you drink red wine, that's a bad thing. We drink wine all the time.
Yes.
And we're going to drink a lot more wine in the next 60 days. Yeah. But.
Starting now.
But just the group. And like you have these stereotypes and like you have these, like they're going to be a bunch of whiskey drinkers. They're going to be a bunch of shot drinkers.
Yeah.
Bud Light drinkers.
Yeah.
We would like a Cabernet, please. But the cherry on the top is he told a guy that he's already built a rapport with, like, you know, C's came in like for 2 months, have a good relationship for like, man, fuck your new guy. Who's this asshole over here complaining?
Right.
You know? But no, that's great. I love when bartenders do little shit. Again, it goes back to he didn't hurt anyone's feelings. He wasn't inappropriate.
No.
He did exactly what he needed to do.
Right. Like that is the ideal response for that scenario.
Absolutely. Sir, fine. I will get what you want. Just give me like 2 minutes.
Right.
Because that dishwasher takes at least 90 seconds.
Right.
I mean, I already probably know what kind of dishwasher they have.
Yeah. I mean, there's like one of three types, right?
Right. And they're all pretty fast. 90 seconds to 2 minutes to wash a rack. And yeah, I don't know. I mean, this story is pretty straightforward. There's not much to it except for the asshole is the newbie. Right. The bartender's the hero for sure. Right. And like sidekick is the guy he talked to and tipped up a bunch because he knew like, you know, like, sorry, brought the new guy.
Right. But gosh, that's funny. I giggled when I read that one, especially because he said his regular giggled about it and then tipped him well.
Right.
Tipped them well.
Right. What are we thinking for rating wise?
I am having a hard time with this one. Not because it's like a tough story to rate, but because I want it to be higher than I know I should.
I want to say it's a 3.5, but it's not a 3.5. This is shit that happens to all the time. Like,
I'm sure everybody, like, there are a lot of bartenders who have done this exact thing. Mm-hmm. Oh, look, I actually measured it out and you actually got more. Oh, oops.
Mm-hmm.
So like,
I will say this, like the more I kind of think about it, I would have people kind of question my pours at Riverboat.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, there's a sticker right over there. Do you want me to put your glass against that sticker to see if you got more or less? And like, yeah. And it was like spot on. I'm like, I've been doing this for 12 years. I know what a fucking 5 ounce pour looks like. Mm-hmm. I go, I will never pour you short. I might give you up to an ounce more if I'm busy because I'm just like pouring, getting out. But I go, I guarantee you, I will never pour you short. It will always be that line, even if I'm not checking. Because I've done this for so long. I know what 5 ounces look like.
Right.
I'm going to give this a 2.4.
Yeah. I was going to say 2.5.
So it's like, to me, it's just a smidge under average.
Right.
You know, the only reason I'm giving it that high, I would give it a 2, but because he talked to the other biker and the biker tipped him more and they all laughed about it together. That's what gives me the 0.4.
Right. And I don't disagree with you. I just
hear that, folks. She does not disagree with me. Keep it on the records. Write this shit down.
Yes. That is that.
That's that.
It was a great story.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the prime example of your story doesn't have to be a 5 for it to be one of the most fun times that we have reading a story.
Right. I think these stories are like less than 3 because they're more relatable. Like, because we all have like, I can relate to that a little bit more.
And especially this one, it was like, oh, it's that movie Wild Hogs. Like,
right.
Oh, shit. So if you have a story similar to this, a little less fun, a little bit more fun, let us know. We'd love to hear it. We do have a subreddit called Do You Want to Start a Tab? Just go ahead, write your story in there. We'll read it, talk about it, and we might call you the asshole. We might not. Just depends.
Oh, we didn't say who was an asshole in this one. I think we know.
I think I did. I thought I did. I thought I said that here.
I don't know.
Oh, you're too busy on your phone.
I was trying to figure out the rating spreadsheet.
And our cat just took a big old shit. So yeah, go ahead and leave that. The link is in the description of any podcast that you're listening to this. And then we also have a phone number, 563-277-0072. If you want to verbalize
your story
to us, we would love to hear it. We've had two so far and they've both been fantastic.
Yes.
So yes. And on the last thing I'm going to ask you to do is just rate our podcast. Just give it a little bit of rating. Obviously, we'd love 5 stars, but give it whatever you think we deserve. It helps the algorithm, pushes out to more people to hear our dumbasses talking about
other people's dumbasses.
Yes. Our dumbasses talking about dumbasses.
Right.
We appreciate you guys listening to the show. We love you guys so much. If you guys want to support the show, we do have a Patreon for just $3 a month. We talk more with each guest about their personal experiences, their growth in the bartender industry, what they're doing now, and everyone's different journey because not everyone's going to be a life bartender, and they each have exciting lives. So yeah, just for $3 a month, you know, that's a pint. That's less than a pint of glass of beer. So go check it out. Links in the description at Patreon. Do You Want to Start a Tab? Thank you so much, guys. You guys know Riley and I have a YouTube channel called Alchemix Bar, a website and Instagram based all around cocktails. We also created the Bartender's Alphabet to better understand slang and descriptions and other things involved with cocktail making. So if you want to check that out, it's in the link description, Bartender's Alphabet at Alchemix Bar. Hope you guys enjoy. And now back to the show. I have a story.
Oh, I would hope so. That's kind of the point.
Just rely on you doing all the stories. Let's see. Okay. All right. This was posted 28 days ago.
Ooh, fresh.
Elderberry Jolly 9818.
It's a great name, handle. And this is from what subreddit?
Bartenders.
Okay.
Subreddit. So I've been kind of perusing that subreddit a little bit.
Yeah, I've been actively avoiding that one because I know it's like that or am I the asshole that you get your stories from? Right. So I've been like looking at other ones.
Yeah. I mean, this subreddit's a lot about like, what do I need to do in this situation? It's not really a story. It's like, okay, right. I don't like
asking whatever. For advice.
Right.
I love that.
Mm-hmm. All right. And this is at an asking for advice situation. The title is How to Best Handle This Situation. Owners asked me to come up with cocktail recipes for other properties and businesses.
Okay.
Okay. I manage a high-end bar.
Okay.
We have autonomy to create and put on whatever we want for our own menus. We are just a small piece of a larger operation that includes multiple restaurants and concepts. The wife owns all the restaurants and regularly asks me to come up with drink recipes for other properties. The husband owns his own company that makes products that he sells to the bars and restaurants. Huh. He has also asked me to come up with recipes for his business to give to his accounts to help sell his product. How do I kindly articulate that I should be compensated for those requests? I am 110% on board with coming up with drinks and recipes for the bar that I work at, as I am compensated by the customers who purchase those drinks. But am I wrong for abstaining from conceptualizationally?
What? Conceptualizing? Conceptualizing.
Drinks for other properties in business without compensation.
Not the asshole for not doing it or for wanting to be compensated. Absolutely not. I think there's a right way and a wrong way to go about it.
And that's what they're asking for, because I think
the wrong way is to grab a cocktail book and say, here, find your recipe.
What do you mean?
Like grab a cocktail book, like a Smuggler's Cove or Liquid Intelligence. Oh, I see what you're saying. Here, look, all of these are created.
Right. Pick what you want.
Right.
I definitely think they're abusing.
Absolutely.
They're abusing this person's talent and knowledge.
Right.
And it definitely feels like this husband and wife aren't working together.
No.
They're kind of.
Well, I mean, they are.
But it seems the way the story comes up is like the wife is asking for drinks for this thing. Then the husband asks drinks for his own thing. But it doesn't seem like they're being. It could be.
They are separate businesses.
Right. But I guess I'm saying is like they weren't working together to work this out. They're just each using this person on their own game, whatever. But anyways,
yeah, I don't think there's a separation. I just think that she's concerned with her stuff and he's concerned with the stuff that he's responsible for. I think it's just, they're just taking care of their own responsibilities, not necessarily divided on it.
Yeah. I would be like, look, come up, go up to one of them, whoever you think will be the more receptive to what you think the comment will, the discussion will be. Cause you know, either one of them will be a little more receptive than the other.
Right.
Cause you probably worked for them for a couple of years. You know who they, you know how right. their personalities are. So you go to the one that you think is going to be more receptive.
Right.
My guess, it's going to be the wife. I don't know. It doesn't matter who it is, but you go up to him like, look, I enjoy doing what I'm doing, but I'm doing so much extra work for you guys. And I feel like I'm not, my value isn't being appreciated for what I'm doing for you.
Right. I think if I were to broach the conversation, I would be like, so here's the deal. Right now you currently have me, my position is bartender at X restaurant or head bartender or whatever at X restaurant. If you want me to continue creating cocktails for all of your businesses, then I need a different position.
And that is called a beverage director.
A beverage director or head mixologist for X properties or something like that. And in order to fulfill that position, I would be happy to fulfill that position, which would include bartending shifts. But I need more money. Mm-hmm. Right now, the way it stands, you hired me to be a bartender. I can be a bartender.
And obviously, you think I'm doing a great job because you want to keep asking me to do these other restaurants and concepts for you.
Right. So I would pose it as like, I need you to give me a promotion. Mm-hmm. Because like with every field, a promotion is what happens when you do a good job.
Right.
In theory.
In theory.
So if they're having you do work outside of your scope of support, they need to recreate a position that includes what they want in your scope of support. Mm-hmm.
And it might be, maybe they don't even understand what they're at dealing. Like some, I'm not saying everyone does, but maybe they are just asking because maybe this person, they're like, oh, like, they like doing it. So we just keep asking them to do it. Right. And they don't realize.
Like, do they expect him to do it on his own time? Mm-hmm. Do they expect, or are they paying for the booze? Mm-hmm. Do they expect them to, like, are they allowed to do outside of business hours?
Right.
There are so many variables that go into this, but all of them are like, if you just want to put a monetary value on your creative side, then you should absolutely do that.
Because if they have multiple locations and concepts, which is great, and then if you hire this person to be the bev director for your company.
Right.
Guess what? They are going to crank out even better drinks because guess what? Now they know what their job is, what they're vested in. And like, look, I'm going to get paid this much money because this is what I'm doing. And now I have this.
Right.
Like it's actually going to benefit them to have this person be in a specific role.
Because that person would also be in charge of other things like inventory and ordering and
execution of these drinks at the other properties. Yes,
training and
stuff like that. Because you want to make sure these drinks that this person creates are done properly throughout all locations.
If you're curating cocktails, then you have a program that in theory should require well-executed cocktail making.
Yep, exactly. Yeah, I don't know. I just thought this is an interesting story because it's more on the job side of things. Like, there's really not an asshole. Like, okay, it's hard to say because
we don't know.
We don't know the owners and we don't know the relationship that they have. Like, if they feel like these owners are bluntly abusing them and know they are.
Then quit.
Quit. Or find some another job because they're not going to change their mind. But sometimes, like, look.
People don't know. People can't know what they don't know.
Right. Because maybe what happened, maybe these owners, they got successful and they just kept adding, and not like thinking logistics and like other concepts and stuff like that. So it's interesting because we're having these kind of talks with some other people about growth and whatever. And so it's like, we're having those conversations now.
Right.
Because it's more awkward the longer you wait.
Right.
But also I get it, right? You don't want to be the asshole that goes to these people like, I want more money.
And I understand, believe me, I understand what it's like to do a good job and then find yourself swamped.
What do you call it?
And bogged down. Performance punishment.
Yes. Performance punishment. I want to make a fucking drink called that.
You do a good job. So you find yourself with more responsibilities with less pay. I get it. Mm-hmm. You have no idea the degree to which I get it. But you have to advocate for yourself.
Yeah.
And I think the way to approach it is, listen, I need a different position. If this is what you want, this is a full-time position.
Right.
Make it one.
So do we want to read some of the comments of what some people suggested? Because I, like I said, this is definitely one like, I'm glad this person's asking for advice because like sometimes like you're not sure. Sometimes you just need other people to help you like, oh, okay, that I'm on that same page. I just didn't know if that was the right way.
Right.
Or like, oh, okay, I was going to go this about the wrong fucking way.
Right.
You should be compensated for consulting because that's what you're doing. Yep. You come up with a few menus to help them. But at this point you need to be. I don't know.
What? Firm. You're just missing the R.
Oh, firm, and tell them that you don't mind consulting for them, but agreement needs to be in place.
Yep.
That's definitely a consulting or beverage director job outside of your original responsibilities. Maybe you can get paid a nice hourly, but responsible for all locations.
Right.
Pretty simple. You are a paid employee. Your title and job code as per your contract do not require you to do this.
Right.
If they want the service, you will bill them for it. Don't feel obligated and don't be quiet about it. Firm, calm, concise.
However, I will say that a lot of places, with the exception of it's not in your employment contract, a lot of places use the phrase other duties as assigned.
Mm-hmm. It's because it's such a generic term.
And it can involve anything.
Mm-hmm.
So it could be in your contract.
Yeah.
So check for that line or something similar. But I mean, I agree. It's still not part of you. It's still not part of the job description that you were.
No. Like, this is out of the scope we're doing, and I didn't mind doing for a month or two, but like, look, it's time to you appreciate what I'm doing for you.
Either you're expecting me to work overtime too many hours, which I mean, in this economy, but you're expecting me to work too many hours outside of my regular job duties, mm-hmm. or you're making my job duties too hard to do because you require all of this in the time that you offer me.
Right.
None of those are compatible with doing a good job on either end of the scale, creating cocktails or being a bartender.
Right. Rating wise.
The fact that there's a term for it, performance punishment, is giving me 1.5. It happens in every possession, in every field. Performance punishment is a thing, and that's what they're falling prey to.
Yeah. I guess I didn't see you go that low.
He got the 0.5 because he's asking for help.
He's asking for help.
If there was an update and we actually.
I mean, it was only 28 days ago, but yeah.
And we actually find out if they improved it or if they listened or if they fly off the handle, then it can get a higher rating.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the boss's response, the owner's response is going to determine a higher rating for this story.
Right. Why do I think this is like the most important decision of my life, and my life will be dictated on this fucking number? This is what I feel like every time we do these numbers. Like, I'm like, people are going to judge me because I gave this story a little too hard. You know, I agree with you. The punishment, whatever thing is a thing that happens because people want their best employees doing the job they want, but then like don't want to or don't even think about compensating for.
Right. They compensate for their position title, not for the job done.
Right. And then when that yearly review comes out, I'm like, well, you fucked up two things.
Okay. Or you get a great review, but you still don't get a raise.
Right. Yep. All right. I'm going to, I guess I'm going to be with you now because I was going to give it a weirder number than this, but I guess a two.
Yeah. I mean, it's just like, that is the capitalist system, is to find good workers and to squeeze every bit of productivity out of them you can for the least amount of money possible. Mm-hmm. And that's what the owners are doing.
Yeah.
And like asking for help is one thing, but actually demanding your worth.
Right.
Doesn't happen maybe, as often.
Maybe they'll just throw them a pizza party.
Probably.
And just remember, don't be a dick, tip your bartenders, and drink responsibly.